Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, welcome to Survival and Beyond. I'm your host, Ed Corcoran, here on Natural News Radio and the Prepper Podcast Radio Network, back again this week. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, and a lot of you folks are aware of that, a lot of my Patriot friends and listeners out there, you know about the fluoride. You know about the fluoride in the water, and you know what it's doing to you. And if you don't know about the fluoride, then let me get you hip to it, because this is a serious issue, and people hear it floating around, and it's one of those things that everybody knows that it's a danger. I don't think a lot of people realize exactly how much of a danger it really is. And to give you a little background on it, I'll tell you, two-thirds of the United States has fluoride in the water. Now, sodium fluoride is a poison. It is a rat poison. It's used in rat poison. It was also used by the Nazis, and it was used by Stalin. They put sodium fluoride in the water to keep the prisoners in the gulags and the concentration camps. They discovered that it made people docile. It made people compliant. It made people complacent. It allowed them to control the prisoners a lot more easily. And this is something that the United States, they picked up on that. They got hip to that. In 1940, actually, is when we started fluoridating the water here in the United States. You know, it's always under the guise of being for our own good. It's good for us. It keeps your teeth healthy, right? And personally, I think consuming fluoride in order to keep your teeth healthy is kind of like drinking Head and Shoulders in order to get rid of dandruff. It doesn't make any sense, folks. Yet, we've been brainwashed and we've been brought up to believe, you know, the fluoride in the toothpaste and everything, that you know, brushing your teeth, and it's in 4 out of 5 dentists agree that, you know, fluoride is good for your teeth and whatnot, and it's absolutely poisonous, and it's a poison on so many different levels, and I'm gonna get to that, but I've got some research that I did about community fluoridation of water. And this is happening in all 50 of the states. There is not one state in the country. And I got this from the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research. And they're still touting fluoride as a beneficial substance. And in fact, on their website, it says that this has been an important factor in the steady decrease in tooth decay rates. Really? Yeah. So hooray for fluoride and hooray for fluoridated water. And they have a chart of all of the states and the percentage of each state that is that has fluoride in the water. And they rank each state, according to how much poison they're giving their residents. And 65.8% of the United States is fluoridating the water. Washington, D.C., no big surprise, 100%. 100% of the water in Washington, D.C. is fluoridated. And I'm not going to go down the whole list, but I'll tell you the top 10 states. And so, folks, if you're living in one of these states, then you got to be aware of this. If you're in Kentucky, is right after Washington, D.C., 99.6% of Kentucky is fluoridated. Illinois, 99.1%. Minnesota, 98.4%. Tennessee, 96.0%. North Dakota, 95.6%. Indiana, 95.5%. I lived in Indiana for a couple of years. Virginia, 93.8%. Maryland, 93.7%. Georgia, 93.0%. West Virginia, 91.5%. The states that have the lowest amount of fluoride in the water, Utah is the very bottom of the list at 2.2%. All right, good for you, Utah. Hawaii, 8.5%. Oregon, 19.4%. New Jersey. So the bottom, if you live in, let's see, the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The bottom 10 states that have the least fluoride are Utah, Hawaii, Oregon, New Jersey, Montana, California, surprisingly, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So, but if you live in those top states that I just mentioned, then you ought to be careful about the tap water. Do not drink the tap water. And more importantly, it's not just the tap water that you have to worry about as well. Now, people say, well, that's okay, I'll drink spring water. Well, spring water, a lot of the stuff that is labeled as spring water is not even spring water. It's municipal water that's simply been filtered. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful when you buy your bottled water. A lot of people assume that if it comes in a bottle, that it must come from a spring or it comes from some natural source, and that is not always the case. And sometimes it's even the water that claims that it's spring water or might have a name like I won't mention any brand names because I don't want to get into a slander issue or any kind of litigious risk, but there are brands that call themselves spring water, and it's actually filtered municipal water. All right, filtration will not remove fluoride from the water. The only way that you can get fluoride out of the water is through reverse osmosis or distillation. And distillation is not recommended for drinking on a regular basis because it's the distillation process removes a lot of the minerals and whatnot. And some people are on the fence about it. I'm on the fence about it as well. I mean, distilled water is pretty much the purest water there is because it's an evaporative process. What you do is you evaporate the water in one container and it condenses in another container. The vapor cools and condenses. So that is the only way that you can get fluoride out, because the fluoride does not vaporize and it doesn't get carried through the distillation process, and reverse osmosis is the other way to do it. And I found this out years ago when I moved back to Massachusetts. Unbeknownst to me, I discovered that Massachusetts had been putting fluoride in the water since 1982. And this was a concern for me, and so I went and got myself an ozone generator, and I figured, I had the water filter, I had the activated carbon, the ozone generator, and I thought that'd be cool. I mean, that'll be safe. I can safely drink the tap water. And then I found out that there is nothing that will get the fluoride out of the water. Filtration doesn't do it because the particles are too small, and in order to get it out. So there I was, and I'm like, all right, now what do I got to do? I'll buy bottled water. And then you find out that most of the water is filtrated. You really have to read the label. And some of the bottled water out there is purified through reverse osmosis. And that was the other thing, too. I thought, I'll get a reverse osmosis machine, or whatever it's called. That is a highly technical, highly specialized, very expensive piece of equipment. If you can afford a reverse osmosis processor, then that's great. Otherwise, you're SOL as far as getting your tap water safe to drink and getting the fluoride out. And so you really have to be careful with the bottled water. Make sure you read the label. Find most of them, all of them, they have to say what the purification process is that they use, and they have to say if it's municipal water, then they have to put that on the label. And they'll also say a lot of the bottled water you'll find is a product of reverse osmosis, so that's safe. Distilled water is safe. Anything else, otherwise, don't drink it. But it's not just the water. Like I was saying, it's not just the water you have to worry about, because what's all the rest of the beverages made of? It's made of water. Pepsi, Coke, soda, that coffee that you get at Starbucks, the beer, juice even. And that reminds me, too, it's came to the realization a while back that it is really hard to get real juice. And I mean real juice. I mean fresh, not from concentrate. Most of the juice that you find out there, well, first of all, beware of anything that calls itself fruit juice. Fruit drink or fruit cocktail. That's not juice. That's sugar water, and it's basically flavored sugar water. Maybe it has 10% of actual fruit juice in it, and it's by concentrate, which means they remove the natural moisture, the natural fluid, the water that's in the fruit juice from the fruit itself, and then they reconstitute it. What they do is they add water to it. When they add water to it, you don't know if there's fluoride in that. Most likely there is. So even juice, you have to be wary of. Only drink juice that is not a product. It's not made from juice or fruit concentrate. And it gets scary when you start thinking about all of this stuff that you take for granted. You think about, like, when I was a kid, the parents would give us. I mean, nobody even was questioning fruit drink or fruit cocktail or whatever. We've given us the bug juice, as they called it, and the little plastic bottles and the flavor ice, and God, I think of all the stuff that that we had as kids. The only saving grace with that stuff is, at least back then, was sweetened with real sugar, and it wasn't this high fructose corn syrup viciousness. It is, man. And I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent about the high fructose corn syrup, but I do feel compelled to say that's another thing. It hyperactivates your pancreas. It is the leading cause of diabetes. Man, we've got like a 600% increase of diabetes in this country. It's insanity. You can't drink anything. You know, there's more high fructose corn syrup in soda than anything else except for water. That's got to be a clue and a half. But anyway, like I said, I didn't want to get off on too much of a tangent about it, but I believe that there's a lot of people who probably think it's harmless, and they probably don't realize what's going on, and they don't know why there's so much diabetes in this country, and it's a killer, man. You just can't do it. And it is, I believe it is a deliberate plan. And there is actual clinical evidence to back this up. A research chemist named Charles Perkins was sent by the U.S. government to ascertain the truth on water fluoridation. And this is a direct quote. The German chemists worked out a very ingenious and far-reaching plan of mass control that was submitted to and adapted by the German general staff. This plan was to control the population of any given area through mass medication of drinking water supplies. In this scheme of mass control, sodium fluoride occupied a prominent place. However, and I want to make this very definite, the real reason behind water fluoridation is not to benefit children's teeth. The real purpose behind water fluoridation is to reduce the resistance of the masses to domination and control and loss of liberty. Repeated doses of infinitesimal amounts of fluoride will in time gradually reduce the individual's power to resist domination by slowly poisoning and narcotizing the area of the brain tissue and make him submissive to the will of those who wish to govern him. I was told of this entire scheme by a German chemist who was an official of the great Farben Chemical Industries and was prominent in the Nazi movement at the time. I say this with all earnestness and sincerity of a scientist who has spent nearly 20 years researching in chemistry, biochemistry, physiology, and pathology of fluoride. Any person who drinks artificially fluoridated water for a period of 1 year or more will never again be the same person mentally or physically. Fluoride from water in our drinking water, food, and showers enters the bloodstream and has a half-life of over 20 years, causing massive brain damage to unborn fetuses and gradually impairs IQ, as well as depressing cell growth rate. Most of the fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland, which is the second highest organ, which receives blood flow in the body. Now this is what I'm getting to about the pineal gland. The pineal gland, for those who may not be aware, is a gland. It's right dead center in the brain, and it produces serotonin and melatonin, and it also produces DMT, which is I'm trying to remember the actual name, the scientific dimethyltryptamine. Now there's a mouthful. DMT. Well, let me put the DMT aside for a second because I don't want to get too far off track. Melatonin is responsible for our sleep cycle. It's what keeps our sleep cycle regular, and serotonin is also involved in the sleep cycle, but it also has to do with depression. Now we have what appears to be in this country an epidemic of clinical depression. Now, I remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, every now and then you might have heard of somebody who had depression. I was diagnosed as having depression as a kid, probably because of all the damn fluoride in the water. And that's what it does. The fluoride, it calcifies on the pineal gland and it deactivates it, and it hinders the production of serotonin and melatonin. And just throws off your brain chemistry completely. Now that's just one thing. That's the one thing on the surface about the pineal gland. And oddly enough, what is the most popular pharmaceutical that's prescribed for depression? is Prozac. The main ingredient in Prozac is sodium fluoride. So basically, you're treating a disease that was caused by sodium fluoride with sodium fluoride. How does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense to me either. The next time you're watching TV, right, count how many commercials you see for antidepressants. I mean, there are so many freaking antidepressants. You would swear every person in America must have clinical depression. You know, back in the day, it was a very rare, you know, you heard about it every now and then. A lot of people didn't even take it seriously. You know, it's like, oh, geez, you know, you're depressed. Why don't you just cheer up? You know, it's like, well, you know, I will not disparage people who suffer from clinical depression. It is a real thing. And it's not a matter of just like, well, why don't you cheer up? Why don't you watch a happy movie or eat a happy meal or, you know, just snap out of it. You know, it's not something you snap out of. It's a chemical thing. And it's a chemical thing that I believe is created. I don't believe that there would be so much depression these days now if it wasn't for the fluoride in the water. And there's a number of different factors involved with it. And I won't, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I've studied a lot of psychology. I was keenly interested in psychology. I was interested in, at one point in my life, of becoming a psychologist. And among other things, you know, one of my many academic interests. But I'm not a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist, or whatever. So I can't speak with authority on the actual processes and whatnot. But the whole system that they use, it's not even a system. When they diagnose depression and prescribe antidepressants, it's a total crapshoot, man. You know, they're like, well, here, try some of this. See, this makes you feel better. You know, oh, you didn't like that? Okay, well, here, eat some of these. You know, then let me know next week how that makes you feel, you know? Oh, that didn't work, you know? So they're just like, they're playing roulette with your brain chemistry, you know? And some of this stuff is horrific. I ain't giving, I'll go for a walk, you know? You can cure depression with exercise, with sunlight, with proper diet and all those things, and those are the other factors as well. It's not all about the fluoride, you know. It's the lifestyle that we live, and we all live in a treadmill because we've been put in a cage and we've been enslaved and we've been brainwashed into thinking that this is the way we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to live our lives by working 40 hours a week or more at a job that we hate, so we give half of our income to the government. And spend the rest of it on our necessities, you know, food and clothing and shelter, and then what the little that we have left over, you know, we usually spend it on entertainment so that we can continue to get brainwashed into believing that this is, you know, so we just keep running on that hamster wheel and keep running around in circles and keep being a slave, you know, and that's the way the whole system is built. You know, the question that you always have to ask, you know, is when people say, well, you know, why is it this way? You know, people, if you don't believe in conspiracy and you don't believe that this is deliberate, you know, it's like, ask yourself this: if they wanted it to be different, then it would be, you know. And, well, that's not really a question, but that's basically the answer, you know. Why is the education system so crappy? Our educational system is working exactly the way they want it to, because it's not intended to educate. when the entire educational system was first, the public educational system was first conceived of back in the late 19th century, it was conceived as a means of conditioning. Because, I mean, the elites back then, they didn't even think that the common person, the common person could be educated. They didn't think that, I mean, you know, the elites, as they do now, you know, they think of us, the common man, we're animals to them. You know, we're useless eaters, we're breeders, we're nothing but flotsam. And they had very little hope in ever educating the common rabble. The question that was brought up was, how do we get people who are used to living self-directed lives, you know, farmers, artisans, whatnot, how do we get these people conditioned into a system where they respond to authority, where they live by a rigorous schedule, and basically, you know, get them all ready and conditioned for the workforce, you know, condition them for their slavery. You know, how do you get those people under control? How do you get people who have self-destiny and who are used to running their own lives? How do you get them to think the way we want them to think and to obey orders and to do what they're told and to accept a completely different way of living? You know, you look at our life right now, there is nothing, absolutely nothing natural about the average American or, you know, the average, I don't care what country you're from. It's pretty much the same wherever you go. You know, they've got us all duped into believing that we need to chase the money. We need to chase this imaginary freaking unit of deception, illusion. You know, money is an illusion, and they got us. We put ourselves on this treadmill, you know. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Marshall Nelson, as a matter of fact, from Awareness Act. He's the web guru, webmaster, you know, tech head and everything like that. And we were having a conversation about what life was really supposed to be about, you know. And we all got brainwashed, and I got brainwashed, and my parents were brainwashed, and their parents were brainwashed by this whole ideal, you know, like, this is what life is. What life is about is you're supposed to work hard and bust your ass and, you know, and be a good employee and, you know, work hard and make a lot of money for your boss, and so that he'll pat you on the head and maybe give you a couple more nickels an hour, and, you know, and you do that for 30 or 40 years, and never mind if you hate it, because that's not what life is about. You're not supposed to enjoy your work. That's why they, you know, my father was a big proponent of that. Well, you're not supposed to enjoy work. That's why they call it work. If you enjoyed it, then it wouldn't be work. And, you know, and of course, work is what life is all about. You know, this whole Calvinistic work ethic or, you know, whatever, the Protestant work ethic. Hey, I wasn't even Protestant. My family was Catholic, which was a whole other nightmare, you know, that I'll get into some other time, because I'm already way over my time limit right now. I was supposed to take a commercial break about 15 minutes ago. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then come back, because I've got way off track and everything. I want to get back on the pineal gland. And so just hang tight. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
No one knows what the future holds, whether an unexpected natural disaster or a catastrophe of a more personal nature. You never know when you're going to need to call upon your survival skills and supplies. In order to be fully prepared, we at Dan's Depot believe you need two things in order to get through these uncertain times without fear: proven gear and top-notch survival training. DansDepot.com is not just another storefront selling survival gear. Our staff has been studying, practicing, and teaching survival skills for over four decades. We use and abuse all the gear we sell. So, when we recommend survival products, you can be assured that it's the highest quality gear available at the best price. But having the best gear means nothing if you don't know how to use it. That's why we have on-site video instructions to help you choose survival products for any situation. Each week, we produce new training videos and articles that inform, challenge, and better prepare you in all areas of survival, first aid, and self-reliance. Come visit us at DansDepot.com and let our team of survival experts help you get prepared with the knowledge and equipment you need to face these uncertain times with confidence. That's DansDepot.com.
Silver has been in use as an effective antimicrobial for thousands of years, and this old technology is still in use today. In 2001, a patent was approved for a new medical silver application, nanocatalytic silver hydrosols. Unlike conventional colloidal silver products, some of the advantages of nanosilver include up to 300% greater bioavailability, proven non-toxicity in over 25 university and FDA-approved laboratory studies, and extreme stability with a shelf life of over 10 years, guaranteed. With just one product, you can replace all the antibiotics, wound and burn dressings, and water purification products in your medical bug-out bag. These products have been patented for use against some of the deadliest pathogens known, many that are resistant to traditional antibiotics, yet are safe and gentle enough for treating a baby's diaper rash. To learn more about this medical silver breakthrough and see the published scientific studies, visit www.lifesilver.com. All orders ship within 24 hours with deep discounts and free shipping for case orders. That's www.lifesilver.com. Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service, very low shipping, and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices. And CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran-owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born on preparation.
Okay, and we're back at Survival and Beyond. And don't forget, you can get 5% off all of your purchases at CampingSurvival.com by entering the coupon code SBRadio. That's S as in survival, B as in beyond, and then the word radio. And that's all one word, no spaces, SBRadio. Enter that code and get your 5% discount for Survival and Beyond listeners at CampingSurvival.com. Now, here I was just babbling, going off on my whole tangent about work ethic and about creativity and about value and about high fructose corn syrup and all that other stuff. But I want to, this is really my whole point. And I was thinking about this all week, you know, that I was going to talk about on the show. And the pineal gland, apart from being a producer of serotonin and melatonin and DMT, right now, this is really where it gets to the crux of the biscuit right here. DMT is also produced by the pineal gland. Now, ancients have understood the importance of the pineal gland. It is considered the seat of the soul. This is where our consciousness is, and moreover, this is where this is how we've been utterly robbed of our birthright. Okay. DMT is a hallucinogen, or at least it's classified as an hallucinogen. It occurs in nature in certain plants, and it figures very prominently in South American shamanistic practices. Like many Aboriginal people, you know, such as the Navajos, you know, they use peyote in their spiritual. Their spiritual practices and their spiritual pursuits and endeavors. Well, DMT is like the granddaddy of them all. And DMT is, basically what is, it's theorized. Now, I have no personal experience with this. I've not used DMT. I've not had this experience myself, but people who have, right? People who have reported, their experience being it is something that is totally otherworldly. You know, people who have experienced DMT are capable of seeing another dimension or seeing into other dimensions. And I was talking about this a little bit last week, that there is so much of the spectrum that we are not capable of seeing because we've been brainwashed and we've been had it beaten out of us. We as human beings, as sentient, conscious creatures, are capable of so much more than what we've been browbeaten into believing. And this is not, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody in particular. I'm not pointing fingers at my parents, although it would be easy to do that because they couldn't help it because that's the way they were conditioned, and that's the way their parents were conditioned, and that's the way people have been conditioned for centuries. going back to going back to the Illuminati, going back to the Catholic Church, the papacy, you know, everything in human history, every body of power has always been their main focus is keeping us down and keep and convincing us that we are limited, that we are powerless, that we're ineffective, that what we see, they dictate what our reality is, and it's gotten, it's been so effective that we stop seeing reality as it really is. You know, reality is energy. Reality is vibration. Reality is frequency. And I don't need to convince anybody of that. This is the truth. This is science has proven this. Quantum physicists have proven this. The double slit experiment has proven this. And if you don't know what the double slit experiment is, and this is really the granddaddy of all of quantum mechanics, In the infancy of quantum physics, when scientists first started studying the very, very small, they set up an experiment in which they had a screen on one end, and they had a barrier in front of the screen. And then what they decided to do is they were going to study the behavior of subatomic particles, electrons, to be specific. And they wanted to find out how these particles behave and what their nature is. And this gave rise to Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. But what they did is they shot electrons at a barrier that had two slits in it. And what they predicted the outcome would be was that some of the particles would pass through the slits and others would be deflected by the barrier where there was no opening. It would just impact with the barrier, and they would register two slits that would mirror, the slits in the barrier, and that's where the particles would pass through. Well, what they found out when they conducted this experiment is that's not what happened at all. What happened was it behaved like a wave. And when you have a wave, like say you have, these ripples of water, and when they intersect with each other, they cause what they call it's interference. And at the peaks of these waves where they intersect, it cancels each other out. And so what they were registering on the screen on the other side of the barrier were several lines where the particles had impacted the receiver. And so they're like, well, this is exhibiting the properties of a wave, but they're not waves, they're particles. And so what they did is they decided to set up a sensor so that it would observe what actually happens. They tried shooting, instead of shooting numerous particles at the barrier, they shot just one electron at a time. And they found out the same thing happened. They still got a reading like it was a wave. Well, how can it be a wave? How can it interfere with itself? So what they hypothesized is that these particles were not actually in one place in space-time. They were actually in more than one place. And they, for some reason, they started out as a particle, but they became a wave, and then they became a particle again. And what they call this is a potentiality wave. So they were puzzled. They were like, well, how can these single particles act? How could they interfere with themselves? How could they act like a wave if there's just one of them? And so they set up a sensor, and they found out that when you observe the particles, it changes their behavior. When you observe it, they behave just like a particle. They behave just like a single particle passed through the slit or bounced off the barrier. Where there was no slit, but when they removed the sensor, it acted like a wave, and it's like the actual act of observation had an influence on the particle. So it was as if the particle knew that it was being watched, and there's still no explanation for it. But what it comes down to is that everything in the universe is both. And it's neither. It's here. Mathematically, this is the way it literally works out mathematically, is it's here and it's not here at the same time. And it's there and it's in one space and it's everywhere. There's, you know, it's what they call potentiality. So that means that everything in the universe, and hey, guess what? We're made of subatomic particles. So we can be in two places at the same time. We could be here, we could be everywhere, we could be nowhere all at the same time. And it's all about intent. I think it's all about intent. That's where our power is. And that is what the powers that be have been trying to make us forget and to tell us is ridiculous and ludicrous. Well, now finally science is catching up and we're starting to get hip to this. We're starting to learn that we are made of energy. We are made of, we're not made of matter. We're made of, everything is a vibration. Everything is a frequency. That has been proved. Matter is just a slow frequency. That's why things become solid. But even that is an illusion. That's not even real either. It's just our perception that makes it so. Or as Hamlet said, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So whatever you think, and this gets into manifestation. And what does this have to do with survival anyway? I'm sure I can hear a lot of you think, what the hell does this have to do with survival? Well, I can think of no more important survival skill than being aware of your native power and your ability to manifest. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a perfect example of what this has to do with survival. And talking about manifesting and about manipulating your own reality and creating your own reality, I'll tell you a story. This happened to me years ago. I was in my 20s, and I was with my girlfriend. We decided that we were going. I lived in Massachusetts. This way before I. It was a couple years before I hit the road and started traveling. And we decided that we were going to go to the beach for the weekend. Now our car was a 10-year-old Buick POS. And it had a failing transmission. And if we had any lick of sense or any kind of responsibility or whatever, we probably wouldn't have made this trip. But, we were young. I was in my 20s. And we thought, I was having to dump transmission fluid. It was a transmission that was failing. And I had to keep dumping transmission fluid into it to keep it running. As long as I did that, the car ran fine. It's a lot easier to buy few quarts of transmission fluid than it is to replace a transmission in a 10-year-old Buick POS. So we went to the beach and everything. On the way back, I forgot to buy transmission fluid before we came back to the beach. And of course, this is an ongoing thing. It was a daily routine putting the transmission fluid in there. And we're driving along and I completely forgot that I forgot to put the fluid in. And all of a sudden the telltale signs, it was the engine's revving and revving and I've got my foot to the floor and it's not doing anything. And, we're going about 15 miles an hour on the highway. And, I knew we weren't going to get much further. And I'm thinking, oh God, if I only had a bottle of transmission fluid right now. And I was like, well, I'm screwed. We're in the middle of nowhere. We couldn't see any houses, not even telephone poles or any sign of civilization or a gas station or anything. And so I decided I had a choice. I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice between staying on the highway and hoping that I come to find some sign of civilization, or do I take the next exit? Well, I decided to take the next exit. I didn't know why, and pulled over. It wasn't an off ramp, into it. It was an off ramp to another highway. And I didn't know where I was, and way before GPS. And I have no idea why I made that decision, why I turned off the road at that particular exit. All I knew is I had a singleness of purpose to find transmission fluid so we can make it the rest of the way home. And we pull over the side of the road, and my girlfriend's freaking out. She's one of these nervous types who got really upset and nervous and worried about every little thing. And I'm trying to keep my cool and all that because it's, you know, I mean, inwardly, I was a little concerned and everything, but outwardly, you know, I was projecting and I was, you know, I was trying to manifest and trying to, you know, keep my head and keep my perspective and all that. And mostly I was trying to be the calm one and the reasonable one for her, because, you know, I was trying to calm her down. I was like, hey, don't worry about it. We'll just sit here and we'll wait until the car cools down and blah, blah, blah. And you know, in my head, I knew she didn't know anything about cars. And I knew that, you know, it's not because the car's overheated and we can sit there and let the engine cool for a month and it's still not going to make the transmission work. But, you know, I'm trying to keep her calm. So, and I turned on the music, you know, and I'm like drumming on the steering wheel and, you know, and just acting like, you know, nothing's wrong in the world and everything. And it starts pouring rain. And it was like one of these things, like one thing after another, like, oh, geez, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And now it's like torrential downpour of rain. And I'm like, you know, I got to do something. I can't just sit here. And after a while, I got out of the car. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go and look around and see if I could see anything, a house or a gas station or something. And I walked about 30 or 40 feet away from the car. And I see this black thing laying on the side of the road. And the closer I got to it, the clearer I could make it out. And I was like, geez, that looks like a bottle of a plastic oil, you know, bottle of oil. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if there's a transmission fluid? And I picked up the bottle and it was face down. The label was down. I turned it over. Wouldn't you know it? It was a full bottle of transmission fluid, unopened. The seal was still intact. I came walking back to the car. My girlfriend was like, what's that? I said, it's transmission fluid. She's like, don't joke around. This is serious. I'm like, no, I'm serious. This is a bottle of transmission. I showed it to her, you know, shoved it right in her face. Transmission fluid. Hooray for me. You know, poured it into the car. We were off and we made it home. That was manifestation. That was just my singleness of purpose, my whole, you know, mindset. I didn't know what I was doing, but that woke me up and that made me realize, like, hey, if I can do that, you know, what if I was really directing my thought and my energy? And I've done this numerous times throughout my life, and I've proven it to myself over and over again. And, you know, I don't have to prove it to anybody else. I tell people this, and you can believe me, you can not believe me. It doesn't matter to me, you know, but those of you who believe me and those of you who know what I'm talking about and those of you who've done it yourself, you know, and just I got to tell people about it because this is how we get things fixed, folks. It's not just about making speeches and it's not just about being an activist and going to protests and painting signs and everything. You have to change your world from within. You have to take up the charge to realize that you have the power to make your world your own personal reality. Your own, and that's all it has to affect. It only has to affect you. If you got everybody, if you got enough people making their own reality a paradise, guess what's going to happen? You're going to change that vibration. You're going to change it, and it's going to bounce off of everybody else, and it's going to have repercussions all over the place. Imagine what would happen. Just think of it. Even if you don't believe me, even if you think this is just a bunch of new age bull. Right? Which it ain't, because I am not about the New Age movement or anything about it, right? This is reality, folks. Your thoughts are real. Your reality is what you make it. If you don't like your life, you really don't have anything else to blame but yourself, because you could change it. Well, actually, that sounds a little harsh, and I don't mean to sound harsh, because I was the same way. I was a cynic. I was miserable. Life sucks. Then you die. That kind of, you know, the world is an awful place and everything. Your world, your personal reality is what you make it. You can change it. If you don't like it, if your job sucks and you hate it, if your life sucks and you hate it, get up and walk away and make something different. Make something better, you know? That's what I did. I had a job that was horrible. It was a slave job. With every fiber of my being, I hated it. And then one day I realized, I don't have to do this. And I went and I told the bookkeeper, the accountant, I said, look, I want you to lay me off. I'm done with this. And I haven't had a job in years. Not, you know, a job, quote, you know, with quotes. I haven't had a job. in years. I went and started doing my own thing, and here I am doing an internet radio show, and I'm following my own muse and doing what I want, and everything is just, not everything is perfect. I mean, I don't live a charmed life. I'm not like rolling in prosperity. But then again, the only reason I'm not is because I just haven't gotten to that point of manifestation yet. But I've, you know, it's one step at a time. So what does that have to do with survival? It has everything to do with survival. You're worried about where you're going to get your food storage. You're worried about your supplies, your preps, your gear, and everything like that. Don't worry about where the money is going to come from, because money is an illusion. What you need to visualize, what you need to manifest is prosperity. Prosperity does not mean money. Prosperity means that you have everything that you need. You have more than everything you need. You have so much of everything you need, you've got enough for somebody else. That is prosperity. So don't visualize yourself, because it's hard to do, you know? And this is the reason people say, well, if this really worked, then, you know, how come you haven't won the lottery? Or how come you haven't manifested a winning lottery number or something like that? That's not the way it works. It's not about money, because reality isn't going to respond to an illusion. And that's what money is. Money is an illusion. And you project into the universe, you project into whatever you want to call it, you project into reality that you're trying to manifest an illusion. Well, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere, right? What you have to do is you have to visualize yourself having everything that you need and being happy. And that's another thing too, is like happiness is more important than wealth. Because wealth will not bring you happiness. And yeah, it's cliche. People have said it before. I know it is, but it's absolutely true. There's a reason why people keep saying it. It's a reason why it became a cliche, is because it's the truth. Is that money's not gonna do that for you, you know? And I went, when I first started getting hip and realizing, and that spark went off in my head about being able to manifest my own reality, you know, I started trying to manifest money, and it just doesn't work. What I did instead is, instead of asking for money, I asked for happiness. I asked for prosperity. I asked for abundance. Those are kind of things, although they sound vague, or they sound, you know, like it, you know, there, it's not a hard-edged, concrete, you know, kind of a concept, right? The universe understands happy better than it understands money, you know, because it's a made up thing, you know. Happiness, however, is universal. Happiness is a frequency. Happiness is an energy. It is, it's a wave, you know, and the universe will respond to that. You know, it's like, hell, you should have said happiness, because that's what, yeah, I can deal with happiness. We throw that at you, you know, and everything. But, you know, you go around and asking me for $1 million, and, you know, it's like you're just asking for an illusion. So don't think about don't think about money. Just think about having everything you need, and know it, too. Act as if you already have it, right? That's what they call intent. If you act like the universe will reflect whatever it is that you put out there. It'll rearrange itself to match what you have in your head. And remember last week I talked about your brain doesn't know the difference between something that's made up, something that it makes up, and something that's real. So, you know, if you have this image in your head and you just live your life as if, you know, it's already done, you already have it, then you already have it. Or, you know, you will experience it. But anyway, I've gone way over the time limit right now, but I want to get back to a little thing about the pineal gland. This is really important as far as decalcifying the pineal gland, because it is a magnet for the fluoride. It literally, there's no other soft tissue in your body that attracts fluoride more than your pineal gland. And the pineal gland has been known, like I mentioned earlier, it's been known by the ancients. It figures prominently in the Catholic in the Catholic Church, in the Vatican. The Vatican, they have a giant sculpture of a pine cone, and that's how it's represented. And it's been by the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Sumerians and all of that. They knew about the pineal gland. They knew that that's what, like I said, the seed of the soul. And that is what is commonly referred to in Eastern traditions as the third eye. Okay. Now I want to get you hip about decalcifying and activating your pineal gland. And again, it comes down to frequency. Now there are certain things that, you can take that will help you to decalcify, such as, like, skatefish oil. What else is there? There's a whole lot of, natural remedies that you can do. And those things all help. And I'm running short on time, but, another thing that's really good and something that's really worked for me is, and mercury too. That's another thing that is devastating the pineal gland, which we have a lot of. I mean, vaccines, and all that, fillings in teeth, for crying out sakes. There are dentists who are still filling people's teeth with mercury, just like there are doctors who are still giving you vaccines that are full of mercury, and they act like that, you know, they know that there's that it's not good. They know how toxic it is. But one thing has worked for me, as far as like activating the pineal gland, are these frequencies called solfeggio frequencies and binaural beats. Binaural beats are frequencies. They're two frequencies that are offset by between 10 and 30 hertz. And when you need to listen to them with headphones, you need to have one frequency going in one ear and the other frequency in your other ear, one in the left and one in the right. And what happens is that the offset of those two frequencies, it creates a beat. And that's perceived by your brain, and it can't be. It most of the time it's only like off by 10 hertz, and when you listen to this has a palpable effect on your pineal gland, and as well as the solfeggio frequencies, and there are certain frequency ranges that resonate with certain aspects and energy centers in your body, and they're like 528 hertz, for example, is called the frequency of love, and they're all I don't have time to go through the whole list of them. I think I'll go into more detail about it next week, and you can do some research. You can go on YouTube. There's a lot of great videos on YouTube with solfeggio frequencies, and it's great for meditation. And I'm telling you, this absolutely works, and you'll know it's working because the pineal gland is referred to as a third eye, and this is where we get our perception from, and this is where we have our clarity of vision beyond our visual senses. To put it succinctly, without like miring it down too much mysticism. But it's the third eye, and that's where our intuition, and that's where our true vision and our awareness beyond our physical, you know, dimension or our physical so-called reality comes from. And when you do these exercises and you listen to binaural beats and you listen to the solfeggio frequencies, you will start to feel it. You will literally feel it. You'll feel it in the center of your forehead. You'll feel your pineal gland activating. And if you haven't felt it in your entire life, if you don't know what that feels like, it's very profound. And you will not only will you physically have that sensation, but it's really hard to define. What you'll experience is you'll experience a heightened sense of awareness. You'll experience a heightened intuition. You'll be able to tell the truth when you hear it. You'll be able to see through the lies. That's just some of the things that I can express. I mean, you know, this is something that I experienced myself. This is not something I read about. Well, I mean, yeah, I read about it. That's how I learned about it, but I actually did it. You know, I started listening to these frequencies. I started going online and doing the research and figuring out, because, you know, learning what the pineal gland is all about and learning about the knowledge that's been suppressed, This is what the church did. This is what the Catholic Church, and this is what I mean when I say that religion is a suppressive force. It's part of what's keeping us down as a species, as a race. And you know, and if you're religious, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not putting down Christianity. I'm not putting down religion or anything like that. I am putting down Catholicism. So if I have any Catholic listeners out there, I will apologize. But the Vatican is an evil empire, you know, and this has been orchestrated since the Dark Ages. I mean, the Catholic Church was the reason for the Dark Ages. There would not have been, the Dark Ages without the medieval period, without the Catholic Church. What they did is they suppressed literacy. It was all about control. If it weren't for the Catholic Church, we would probably be a spacefaring people by now. You know, the suppression of literacy, the use of fear in order to keep people compliant. And the reason they didn't want people knowing how to read, you know, like the old joke goes, do you know why Baptists are always quoting scripture, but you'll never hear a Catholic do that? It's because Catholics are not encouraged to crack a Bible. And I know this because I was raised Catholic. Well, we were Jack Catholics, to be honest. I mean, you know, we went to church on the major holidays, you know, Christmas Eve and Easter Sunday and whatnot. And, you know, we weren't like devout practicing Catholics, but I went to catechism. I got kicked out of catechism. I got kicked out of Sunday school because I asked too many questions and I wouldn't take, well, that's a mystery as an answer. Whenever I asked about the Trinity, what does that mean? Oh, Sister Mary Elephant, God in three persons. Oh, well, that's a mystery, you know, And anyway, without going into, you know, all of this history about the mystery, I will go into the history about the Catholic Church and the suppression, and you know, and it's just an empire. It's not about spirituality. It's not about becoming closer to God. It's about making you limited. It's about convincing you that you are limited and you don't have any power and you don't have any connection at all with the divine or with the universe or with God. It's about keeping you frightened and compliant. It's about keeping you ignorant and suppressed. And that's been orchestrated for centuries, you know. Only the scribes of the papacy learned to read and write or attained any kind of literacy. They were the ones responsible for interpreting the word of God, as it were. And they didn't want the common peasants knowing how to read because they wanted to spoon feed them their religion, their spirituality. They didn't want them to start reading the Bible because if they started reading the Bible and start pointing out inconsistencies and they'll start asking questions of their own. And no, they wanted them to say, look, this is what it means. This is what the interpretation is according to us. Deal with it because we are the authority and you will burn in eternity if you have the temerity, just the arrogance to question our authority, to have doubt, to ask us, to explain ourselves, you know, and that's what the Catholic Church, that's what the papacy has always been about. And that's what it is about still. I mean, look at that Pope, for crying out sakes. I call him Pope Sidious. You know, he reminds me of the Emperor from Star Wars, you know. You just look at him and he just reeks of evil. I just cannot see a kind, benevolent, spiritual, God-connected person anytime I see Pope Benedict. Yes, excellent. I can feel your hatred. You know, that's what I think of. I just think of the Emperor, you know, dun, 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 dun. And they talk about about charity and about helping the poor and everything. They are the richest organization, or one of the richest organizations on the planet. Hey, Pope, why don't you sell off that golden throne and give it to the people in Africa who are starving, you know? And forget about the vaccines, you know? These third world countries are starving, and instead of giving them food, they're giving them vaccines and condoms. You know, they're trying to kill them off. You know, don't you get it? They're trying to kill us all off, but, you know, it's a lot easier in the third world, man. It's a lot easier in the poor countries where they have disease, and they're going to poison them with mercury. And that was something that I was planning on getting into in this show as well. But I guess I'm not going to have that chance because I am running out of time. But, you know, I do want to, you know, express this whole thing. The pineal gland, if you're not aware of it, you know, I highly suggest you do. You go look it up. I was going to have a bunch of links and everything. And, you know, I always feel like it's kind of pointless to give links verbally on the radio. You know, oh, yeah, go to www.blahblahblahblahblah.com and everything like that. But the information is out there. And I want to put your hip to it because you will definitely feel this isn't some wishy-washy kind of thing. And when I talk about manifesting, you know, like I said before, I mean, this is real stuff. And I wouldn't be talking about it. I have absolutely no incentive to talk about, you know, stuff that's a bunch of hooey. That's, you know, not everything that I'm talking about right now. These are all things that I've experienced. I've studied, I've practiced it. I know it. I want to share it with everybody because this is going to be what saves us. What is going to save us is to shake off the shackles of the mind and shake off the shackles of the soul and start to realize what we are, who we are, who we are meant to be, what we are meant to become. Because, man, we got pushed down the wrong road and we bought a lot of baloney. We bought into a lot of suppression, and not only do we allow ourselves to be suppressed, but we allowed we got so brainwashed that we started suppressing ourselves. You know, guilt and fear and all of those things that are used as weapons against.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed.com. seed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Survival and Beyond, and our guest on the show today is actually returning to the show. He's a returning guest, Mr. Gary Yantis, and Gary is a former engineer with top security Q clearance with the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission, and he's also the author of Infinite Dangers, which is a great survival guide, a must-have book addition to your library, and he spends... Now he devotes all of his time uncovering the truth and exposing the lies and bringing out the information that we don't get from anywhere, really. I mean, obviously not the mainstream media. So I want to have Gary back on the show to tell us about all the new information he's been digging up and all of the things that we need to know about and stuff that's coming down pretty soon, from what I understand. So, Gary, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate you having me back on. I always enjoy your show.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. So you have a lot of contacts from your time in the Atomic Energy Commission, and you speak to a lot of people who are in a position to know things that even, you know, the people in high-ranking positions don't even know. And I wanted you to tell me some of the more urgent things that you've been uncovering. For example, you've been talking about there's been intensive military movements in the United States, and that military bases are, like, buzzing with activity now. And what's going on?
Well, there's some things that all I can do is just say, gee, I've noticed them. But essentially what I try to do, unlike many others, I try to come up with things that no one else is talking about, no one else knows, either knows about or thinks is important, but I think it's important, and I've come up with information that no one else has. So that's where I try to differentiate myself from others. So among the different items that I usually have about 30 or 40 items that I'm kind of watching and seeing what's going on, and talking to people, and including people I didn't know who they are. You know, they reached out to me like as long as two or three decades ago, knowing that I had at one time a top secret security clearance, perhaps somebody I knew way back when, and they very carefully send me information that, I'm very careful with it. I never endanger the security of the United States, but they send me information about what's going on and things like that. And usually it's not that important, but once in a while it is. I slipped in one item that I sent you a quick list of different items I was talking about. I'm thinking about, and I slipped in one just at the last minute that I've been reading an article and think it's very important. I think it's London Science, university over there that's the end-all, be-all of measuring things, including world temperatures. And, for instance, last year they were making a big deal about the world temperatures over the last 14 years had increased by like 0.7 degrees, and they extrapolated that out so that the world temperature was going to go up like 7 degrees centigrade by the year 2100. Well, now they just released it, but it didn't hit the front page. It wasn't in any newspaper. It'll take you a while to find it. The temperature thus far this year, and we're coming up on the end of the year, is down enough that we're below the normal, and because of that, it shows that by the year 2100, we're going to be down about 3 or 4 degrees centigrade. So the people that are, you know, gung-ho on global warming, I'm sorry, but that just isn't there. But that brings me into the primary topic they say liars figure and figures lie. Well, I believe in coming up with the absolute truth and demographics of the world. So many people have said, you know, we're going to end up with 20 billion people in the world. We have got to cut back on the birth rate and so on and so forth. Well, if you look at the major countries of the world, Japan, United States, Canada, you know, so on and so forth, Italy, all of the countries that are relatively wealthy, many of them are below replacement rate. Italy is, Japan is way, way down, as everyone knows. And because of that, they've come up with a study that, you look at it 6 ways to Sunday, and it does show by the year 2050, the world population by 2050 will be about 9 billion people, up from 7 billion right now. But then, assuming the world continues to become richer, and that's mainly it, you know, in the 100 years ago, people had to have 10 kids because you didn't have tractors and stuff. But now, people are only having one or two kids or no kids at all and so forth. And only in certain very poor countries in Africa are they still having three or four or five kids. And with that, they did demographics, they did new charts, figured up, how it's falling in each country and what's going on and so on and so forth. They're showing that it doesn't start to level off until the year 2500, and saying in the year 2500, the world will be down to 1 billion people. So all the stuff that the UN's doing and, trying to cut the birth rate and, all these big government programs, nothing is needed.
Well, yes.
And check it out yourself. I think that's very important. But
That is the globalist agenda. And they
get missed.
Yeah, they do have their agenda is not population control, it's population reduction, and that accounts for all of the our food, our water, everything, vaccines, the whole nine yards. I mean, they're looking at, if you go on and look at Agenda 21, look at their literature, I mean, they're looking at cutting down the population, and they're not coming right out and saying
it.
What's that?
It's going to be happening anyway, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, like you said before, but there's lies, there's damn lies, and then there's statistics. And as far as the statistics goes in terms of global warming and in terms of population and everything, those numbers just don't add up. So I'm with you on that.
There are so many people that they had their careers and so on and so forth, writing papers about population control and reducing population and so forth. If you really get into the demographics of it, countries like Italy, they actually pay young people to have children. Japan is just, is falling off the map. Japan's going to, if you look at it, it's going to be down to zero. In a couple hundred years, it looks like.
Oh, Japan is done.
Yeah, and many other countries. And the United States, last month was the first month we went below the rate of staying steady. So we're now dropping, mm-hmm. and we're going to continue to drop. Part of that right now is the economy. People are having less children because of the poor economy. But as the world becomes richer, people have less children, and that's something that people are not going to talk about, because the people in power, they want to have the power of reducing population. Well, the population is going to reduce on its own. Okay, well, I also wanted to, people are all concerned about economic turmoil, both in the U.S. and worldwide, protecting assets and seeing problems before they occur. I wish I had a crystal ball to tell you what to do. I can tell you that it's in periods of months and not years, and protecting your assets, assets need to be hard assets. They don't necessarily need to be gold and silver, people talk about that. Yes, that's fine to have. Paper fiat currency. There's no paper fiat currency has ever lasted longer than 40 years. and the U.S. current paper currency is right at 40 years right now from 1971, I think. Mm-hmm. So there are many assets you can have, from farmland to, like, for instance, in bartering things, in survival products, from a website of Chinese products. I've got, like, a couple of gross of hammers and tools and rope and so on and so forth that in a bartering mode are worth money, you know, things that people need. Mm-hmm. So if you want to protect yourself, it doesn't have to be in cash. In fact, probably in cash is not a really good way to have a lot of your assets. But it doesn't have to be in gold and silver either. Having some gold and silver, if problems do happen, gold and silver right at first is not going to be very valuable. People are going to want water,
exactly,
food, and so forth. And a shiny silver coin, they're going to say, I don't want that.
Yeah, I say it all the time, and I get it's a hotly debated issue. And my stance is that after a collapse, I don't want your gold. I can't eat it. It's not going to keep me warm at night. I can't build anything with it. And we're talking like immediately after a collapse, folks, for those of you listening. Sure, after a while, once we get it back on our feet and everything again, then maybe gold and silver will be a tradable commodity. But right away, people are going to need the stuff that they need. They're going to want the things that they need to survive. And that's food, building materials, even skills are a valuable barter item when somebody needs something done that they can't do themselves. So, again, I'm right along with you there, Gary.
Absolutely. And in fact, I tell people, right at first, if it does happen, the reason you have gold and silver now, people have asked me, well, why do I need it? Why don't I just wait and I'll be able to buy silver for like a dollar an ounce, you know, and stuff. Well, like, you know, but you don't know that for sure. You probably will. And right after, if something happens, people that thought, gee, I've got 1,000 American silver eagles and a gun, and that's all I need. And I've had people tell me that. They're going to be in a world of hurt, and they're going to be selling their silver at very low prices, or bartering it for other things, water, food, so forth. That's when to get silver and gold at prices that you're not seeing now and you'll never see.
Right. You know, a friend of mine, well, the founder of the Prepper Podcast Radio Network, our sister network, said that he feels that lead would be more of a precious metal than gold and silver, because at least you can make bullets from lead. And, that's something he would rather trade in that than gold and silver.
That's very true. Yeah, I suppose so. I think there's probably, with all the ammunition that's been cast over the last few years, I don't think there's a lack of it.
Right. Well, you know, the DHS is sure is buying up an awful lot.
Yeah, they are, and that's a big question mark of why, especially hollow point bullets. That is very worrisome to me, and that's something that, you know, I've got theories, and I've got guesstimates that I don't make public about things. Why hollow point bullets? I don't even have a guess on that. So, a hollow point bullet is not what you use. You know, they're saying, well, it's for target practice. Mm. Hollow point bullet is six times the price as a regular bullet. So you don't buy a hollow point bullet for target practice.
No, absolutely not. That's a ludicrous assertion on the DHS. And also, they're arming agencies that really have no business. I mean, why do NOAA agents need to be armed? Why is the National, you know, Oceanic and Atmospheric, why do they need firepower, you know?
Well, a small amount. The NRA did go to DHS and several other agencies, and they did get answers. And some of them, including like the Weather Bureau, they do have people that go out into areas that are dangerous, that, check the weather and so on and so forth. And I could see that. But some of the quantities he talked about, no, I couldn't see that.
Sure. They're talking about, like, arming their agents with 200 rounds and whatnot. And it keeps getting, I mean, it's not just ammunition. It's explosives, plastic explosives, military-grade explosives. And also, conversely, and very bizarrely, they're also ordering Imodium nitrate, which is, you know, a poor man's explosive.
And
they're buying in quantities that, and they claim that they're using it to train their bomb sniffing dogs. Well, you know, you don't need several tons of explosives to train your dogs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it took them 2 weeks to get that excuse put together. They had about six excuses before they finally all worked on the same one, saying, "Well, it's for our dogs." They had one after another until they finally came up with that one.
Right. So what?
Wanted to also mention, well, they want to just keep on going.
Okay.
A possible World War III, is that coming? Yeah. Boy, you know, there's about, there are more, call them ticking time bombs than we've ever had before. Of all of the different scenarios that I see that could set off World War III, the one entity that is in the middle of every scenario that I see is the country of Iran. And that's really strange because Iran, the last time Iran invaded another country was the year 1798. you have to look into their how they are as a people. They tend to be very belligerent in their speech and so forth, and scream and yell at each other, and that's just the way they are. So when they say they're going to, you know, they're going to turn Iran and are they going to turn Israel into, you know, dust and so forth. That's just how they talk. But when does it come that something actually happens? Well, Iran, it seems to be the center of all the scenarios, and it may actually be something that will occur. I've said since 2009 there's going to be no election this year that we've seen in our last election. I still believe that. I think we're within a couple of weeks of seeing something. I keep hearing from people, from some of my contacts, which, by the way, I'm hearing from very few of them now. They've just gone away. October 18th and the third week in October. So just keep that on your calendar.
You're expecting a false flag event or some kind of October.
Something like that. That's right. Yeah.
I reported on my website about it, and I've been feeling the same way myself. I didn't make this prediction as far back as you did, but around the beginning of the year, beginning of 2012, I started seeing more and more that gave me the feeling that there's not either. And also, you look at all the executive orders, you know, under NDAA, Obama has given himself the power to suspend the election if he feels that it's necessary. And, you know, when that happened, that was like a click that went off in my head. It's like, all right, we're probably not going to see an election. It's probably going to be some kind of false flag event, and it's going to give the perfect excuse for Obama to assume dictatorial powers, which is this just unending stream of executive orders that have been coming out of the White House has been indicating all along.
Many of them are secret. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you can make an executive order that he can make it secret that no one, unless you got security clearance, you're not allowed to know what it is.
Right.
I also wrote down rampant fraud and criminal activity to highest levels in many governments. It has totally gone berserk. Maybe it's always gone on and they're digging more into it. No, I think it's because governments are controlling more and more of our lives, more and more of the money. Now they've learned that they can just print money to infinity. Fraud and criminal activity in not just our government, but almost all governments. The people in those positions, they're more apt to be involved in some criminal activity than not. It used to be a very small percentage. Now, if somebody told me 60% of all the people involved in a position where they can pull some money out for themselves are doing it, I'd say, yeah, I could believe that. You know, that's just absolutely shocking. And in fact, it leads me up to the next thing, Fukushima. Fukushima, which I talked about quite a bit the last time that we got together, and there is a lot more news coming out that is total news blackout, especially in the United States.
Right.
It's Fukushima. It was mostly a result people being paid off, and both in government and TEPCO. Yesterday, the Japanese government officially washed their hands of TEPCO and said, TEPCO, it's all your fault. We're out of it. You've got to take care of it yourself. You know, they're talking about the whole world, and they're acting like it's just within the country of Japan. Already, they're saying there's over a million people are going to die from thyroid cancer. Mm-hmm. And just in the country of Japan, it's going to be more than that. Thyroid cancer takes 20 or more years to show up, but it's going to happen. And it's going to right now, building four, if that collapses, we're going to see death rates over a billion. I hate to say that, but in the northern hemisphere in the first 5 years, and in the southern hemisphere at 15 years after that. I put in my note, there's a late breaking news, but I thought was shocking. It just shows how Mickey Mouse operation has been. The country has changed since 1988. I used to go over there all the time on business, and it, you know, they were just a wonderful country. I mean, if somebody did something wrong, they would literally fall on their sword. In 1988, called the socialists, finally took over, and the country of Japan used to be the highest saving rate in the world. They were saving 25% of their income, and now they have 200% of their gross national product. That's how far they are in debt, which is far more than the United States. The late breaking news is that when their UPS system, uninterruptible power system, for cooling the building three, I think it was, the battery was going down on it. They went to go get another battery. Well, battery wasn't charged. They had no way to charge it. They called all of the TEPCO facilities all over Japan. Nobody had one. It was a specially made battery. They literally had people going to the Akihabara area of Tokyo, which is Radio Row, looking for batteries to take it back to Fukushima to save the darn place. What they finally did, they got into the cars of the people working at Fukushima. You know, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be a joke. Opening up cars and ripping out batteries and modifying them to get the proper voltage. And they kept doing that for several days until they finally got the proper batteries. And this came out in a video that had an internal video of TEPCO that had been kept secret for, since March 11th of 2011. And they showed the actual batteries being ripped out of the cars and being put back together again to keep the UPS system running, to keep the building or keep the water flowing. You know, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody else had told me that, then I would probably tend to smirk and say, "Yeah, really?
It's on YouTube right now. You mm-hmm. can go to YouTube. I don't know what word you put in to get it, but it's on YouTube. So not much more about Fukushima other than Building 4 is collapsing more, and if they don't get more concrete poured in there, it's just a race with time. We can have, I won't even get into, you know, how serious it can be. It's just, you know, it's beyond imagination. So mm-hmm. Fukushima has gone off the map. You never even see it in the paper anymore. It's off the news. Well, that's because there's a news blackout. Japan has put a news blackout. The Japanese news, news bureaus they're not fine, but they're told by the government, don't talk about Fukushima. Well, most of them are. A few of them are, but not saying very much. And most of what they're saying is that they're playing it down versus actually telling the truth.
Now, Is this really in their best interest? I mean, one of the things that are happening as a side effect of the Fukushima and its effect, what's affecting their, it's devastating their economy, really, is that nobody wants to import Japanese products, cars and other metallic goods, equipment, machinery, whatnot, have been found to be radioactive, and so it's really crippling their export economy.
That's
and
right.
What is really? I mean, is this all about saving face anymore, or
Yeah, the whole country is in it's in chaos.
Yeah.
There are articles over there. You can go onto YouTube and get watch videos that there's text in English that's underneath it of people having panel discussions that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. You know, let's do this, let's do that. We're hurting the country. We need to tell everything. We need to keep it quiet, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking when they should be telling the world. Everybody in the entire world that can help us fix this problem, please come. Well,
exactly.
They were offered help when the problem happened, and Japan turned everybody down. They didn't have anybody else come in for a couple weeks. Yeah, I really said a lot of that in the last interview I did with you. So, in fact, if you go back on your website and you can play that back again, and everything I'm saying right now, you'll hear the same thing. So. Anyway, I also put down right now, I'm hearing from, I also put out a newsletter. By the way, to get my newsletter, just send me an email. And if you want to put my email address on your website somewhere, just send me my first initial last name, gyantis@gmail.com. It'll get to me. And I put out a newsletter, and it's just grown like crazy because it actually has news in it that people are not aware of. And I consider the people that subscribe to it to be reporters. I hear from hundreds of them a day telling me things that are going on in their area. And the biggest thing I'm hearing is that I live close to a military base here in, whatever state. And there is more activity going on. It's like the day after Pearl Harbor. I've never seen in the intense activity, planes coming and going 24 hours a day, trucks going like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it like this, and I'm hearing it dozens and dozens of times a day from people writing in, sending me emails who subscribe to this newsletter. So what does it all mean? It sure means something. And all those executive orders and my belief that there won't be an election, I think there's going to be a lot of things that you and I won't like, and most of the people listening to this are not going to like, and it's going to be happening pretty quick.
Right.
And because right after that, I jotted down, there's a constant flow of executive orders. Do we still have a constitution and an amendment? And the amendments. My belief, if you add up all the executive orders, NDAA, Patriot Act, all the others, and don't even look at the secret ones we don't know about, we essentially do not have a constitution and amendments anymore. Many of them just haven't been enforced yet.
Right.
If you want to enforce, you can actually do away with the First Amendment. You can do away with the Second Amendment, the Fourth one. You know, if you do away with those three, you might as well trash all the rest. They're all gone.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. I also jotted down, and not to get political about it, but just keep in mind, a Democratic presidential incumbent. I read this the other day. Three different networks. And including people, I would say they're liberal networks, have an automatic 10 to 12 point handicap that, part of that is how they're reporting the news, and part of it is they're the party in power. So overcoming that, well, if it is 12 point handicap, if Romney is going to win the presidency, he's really got something to overcome, a lot more than just picking up half the votes. And on with that, there's articles going out right now. Is CNN really getting paid to air false stories? Well, they've already proved it.
You know, I wanted to get into that myself because that's something that I've been following as well. But right now, we got to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to continue on with that topic there. So, folks, just hang tight. We'll be right back.
Preparing yourself for an emergency doesn't have to be all about doom and gloom. Getting all worked up about an impending disaster isn't going to better prepare you. It's just going to stress you out. Here at survival-gear.com, we believe your main goal when putting together a survival kit is to not just have the critical items you need in order to stay alive, but the right supplies in sufficient quantity to shield you from the effects of an extended unfortunate event. I like to say that if you have to use your survival kit, it should seem more like an impromptu camping trip rather than a dire emergency. Likewise, if a hurricane, earthquake, or tornado make your home unusable, you want to be able to set up camp and still be relatively comfortable. Even during a survival scenario, staying warm, dry, hydrated, and fed doesn't have to seem like roughing it. At survival-gear.com, our goal is to better prepare you by providing full-fledged survival kits that you can absolutely count on. Visit survival-gear.com and check out our premium line of survival kits. Silver has been in use as an effective antimicrobial for thousands of years, and this old technology is still in use today. In 2001, a patent was approved for a new medical silver application, nanocatalytic silver hydrosols. Unlike conventional colloidal silver products, some of the advantages of nanosilver include up to 300% greater bioavailability, proven non-toxicity in over 25 university and FDA-approved laboratory studies, and extreme stability with a shelf life of over 10 years. Guarantee. With just one product, you can replace all the antibiotics, wound and burn dressings, and water purification products in your medical bug-out bag. These products have been patented for use against some of the deadliest pathogens known, many that are resistant to traditional antibiotics, yet are safe and gentle enough for treating a baby's diaper rash. To learn more about this medical silver breakthrough and see the published scientific studies, visit www.lifesilver.com. All orders ship within 24 hours with deep discounts and free shipping for case orders. That's www.lifesilver.com.
No one knows what the future holds, whether an unexpected natural disaster or a catastrophe of a more personal nature. You never know when you're going to need to call upon your survival skills and supplies. In order to be fully prepared, we at Dan's Depot believe you need two things in order to get through these uncertain times without fear: proven gear and top-notch survival training. DansDepot.com is not just another storefront selling survival gear. Our staff has been studying, practicing, and teaching survival skills for over four decades. We use and abuse all the gear we sell. So, when we recommend survival products, you can be assured that it's the highest quality gear available at the best price. But having the best gear means nothing if you don't know how to use it. That's why we have on-site video instructions to help you choose survival products for any situation. Each week, we produce new training videos and articles that inform, challenge, and better prepare you in all areas of survival, first aid, and self-reliance. Come visit us at DansDepot.com and let our team of survival experts help you get prepared with the knowledge and equipment you need to face these uncertain times with confidence. That's DansDepot.com.
Okay, we're back, everybody, and we're here with Gary Yantis, a former engineer with the Atomic Energy Commission and also the author of Infinite Dangers, and he's also out there working the trenches, getting the news to us that we're not getting from anybody anywhere else. And before the break, we were talking about the mainstream media, and one of the stories that I was following and I reported on survivalandbeyond.net is the recent discovery, or I should say the Amber Lyon, the former journalist for CNN, has blown the whistle and revealed that the CNN actually gets paid to either suppress the news or to report false news. And we all know the mainstream media is lying and slanting and everything like that. And I wanted to hear your take on all of that.
Well, and with that, I won't say much more about it because you pretty much said it. I've got about 90% proof that at least three other main media outlets are doing the same thing. They're being paid to write false stories, and only from one side, and I'll let you guess which side that is. Let me go on with that, saying because it has to do with elections as well, are government, economic, employment growth, and other numbers essentially being made up both in the United States and in other countries. What can you believe? Absolutely. I have been saying for years that the numbers coming out of particularly China and somewhat Russia and other countries, and now here in the United States, they're just made up. If you go to shadowstats.com, they have the real numbers. The actual unemployment rate in the United States is equivalent to what it was back in the Great Depression in the 30s. It's up to 22% if you compute it the way they computed things back then. Now they're not computing the way that they used to do it. Now, if you fall off the end of the if you go 99 weeks and you no longer collect benefits, then they no longer count you as looking for work.
Right.
Well, that wasn't the case back in the 30s. So they're making, so you can't believe anything from the government, at least. You've got to go to the internet, to Shadow Stats. There are some websites that also make up numbers, but find the ones that that people say give out true numbers, and that's what to go with. And with that, I jotted down. I'll jump off here to a different topic. Write this down and then look it up, and it will tell you so much. What is the Cloward Pivens strategy? It's spelled Cloward Pivens. That's the name of two professors' strategy. It was an article written in The Nation magazine, 1965, and it is the basic of what has been going on in our country for the last 50 years. It is so confidential and so hidden that they're paying $1,000 for a copy of any of the magazines. They've destroyed virtually all of them, and you cannot print a copy of the strategy, or they go after you with lawyers like you wouldn't believe for copyright. But look up, everybody that's listening to this, look up Cloward Pivens' strategy. It's basically overload the system until it collapses under its own weight, and then have another system standing by to come in and take over, and all of a sudden you've got a whole new way of life and a new government and a new society and everything, and you don't know what happened. So that's important. Our other major countries in worse, like China and Russia and so forth, in worse economic conditions than the United States? If so, let me do a quick summary on how they will affect the United States. Is the domino effect true, and are there safeguards to prevent it from happening? Well, I didn't think there were any domino ways to stop dominoes at all. The European Union has amazingly held together. I thought it would be gone by now. If you go to Google and go to Chanos versus China, just put that in, Chanos versus China, it'll lead you to a Fortune magazine article. I think it's November 17th, 2010, and that will give you the true conditions of what China is all is what is going on in China, and what to look forward, or what the people in China have to look forward to over the next 30 years. They're major countries. Everyone thinks the United States or the EU will be the first ones to implode. That's not necessarily so. It could be China. And right now, things that are going on in China that do not make the media news, I can very well see China being the first domino to fall. And when the dominoes do start to fall, there's only so much you can do to stop it. I jotted down why does the government, and I know I'm jumping around, but we have a lot of stuff to cover. Why does the government, how did they so easily pass a law allowing 30,000 drones to blanket the United States by 2016. Why are they doing this? How accurate are they? Well, being an engineer, they're very accurate. They can read license plates. Will they be armed? Well, the federal government says they will not be armed. There are already governors requesting that their, because the governors will, some governors will take, will be in charge of their drones, asking that their drones be outfitted with rubber bullets and tear gas.
And I've heard shotgun tasers as well.
I had not heard that.
Police departments are salivating over the prospect of using drones and arming them with what they refer to as less than lethal armaments. But, you know, there's a very, very fine line between less than lethal and lethal. You know, once you get, you know, once you get that step, once you get to that, that point, it's only, you know, how much further is it to go, you know?
Everything is just one step at a time.
Right.
30,000 drones will be 10,000 in the air at all at any one time. If you put them up at 3,000 to 6,000 feet, and you get out your calculator, and if you're as old as I am, calculus, you come up with measuring or being able to read license plates, and even smaller, almost in some cases, if you go down far enough, which they can, you know, fly these around, you can get down to the point of reading a book. That's the accuracy. That's how good these cameras are that they have on the drones. And the drones are totally quiet. You don't hear them coming over. Even the ones that are 300 or 400 feet. And I've seen these, the ones that are 300 or 400 feet above you, you still don't hear them. They have gone to great lengths to make these essentially invisible. Even the color of them, how they're constructed, everything, you're just not going to know they're there. But they're, the feeds of these drones are going to be available to not only federal authorities, local authorities, everybody, anybody in government that wants to tap into the video of these can do it.
Yeah, and that's I don't understand why there aren't more people just up in arms about this whole thing. I mean, I do understand the human nature aspect of it is that people tend to accept things until the point where they just, you know, can't accept them anymore. And I do have a theory to get back on get back to the whole thing about the election. Now, I think there's one of two things that that could happen. Either one, we don't have an election, or two, if Obama is reelected, then it's not going to be too long before there's going to be a lot of civil unrest.
Well, that's why I wanted to throw in Cloward Pibbons, so people would understand that they're throwing so much stuff at us at one time, we don't know which way to turn. That's why there's not unrest right now about 30,000 drones. You know, most people don't even know that. You know, they're just throwing so much stuff at us at one time.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something about 10% of the population following natural law.
Yeah, there's a website, I'm trying to think what the exact website is. It has to do with natural law, that God-given rights to just be left alone. And there's about 10% of the population, that's what I read, that says that. There's a fellow by the name of Larken Rose, L-A-R-K-E-N Rose, that has several books out. One is The Iron Web, which is an amazing book. And if you thought you were a conservative, a very, very conservative person, you know, you're nothing like Larken Rose. I strongly encourage people to look him up. Look up his videos on YouTube. He's got like 29 of them. He has served time in prison with no charges. He was put in and just held for a year with no charges.
Mm-hmm. So what What is your plan, or what do you recommend? I mean, you talk about becoming stealth at all costs, and other aspects of preparedness and survival, and maybe you tell our listeners a little bit about your book as well.
Yeah, the book can be obtained at www.infinitedangers.com, and the reason I wrote it was not to make money. I lowered the price on it. I used to give it away for free, and I found nobody was reading it when I gave it away for free. So I put a price on it. For until the end of October, I'm going to put it down at $2.95. So just put that down on the website, and you'll have the book sent to you in PDF format. It's 30 chapters. It covers everything of being a prepper from A to Z. And but the big thing is we don't know everything, so you've got to be pragmatic. That's more important than anything, because you know, things can happen that we don't know. If I could read just one, in case we don't get much further, I wanted to let me jump to where I was going to end and say, Donald Rumsfeld once said, there are known knowns. These are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know, but there are also unknown unknowns, but there are things we don't know we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that confusing or what? But if you think about it, it is so true. We don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, I say that all the time. That's one of my I don't know if I could say my favorite expressions, but
well,
one expression all the time.
It's too complicated for me, but boy, he sure hit it.
Yeah, you just sometimes you don't know what you don't know. There are things that you can't even possibly imagine.
So be pragmatic. In my book, I say try to be prepared for if you're prepared for everything, you're prepared for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep that in mind, and you know, some things there's nothing you can do about. You know, a comet can hit us and
right. Blow
the planet. You know, some crazy thing. But if you do your best to be prepared for, you know, everything, you'll be prepared for anything. Just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to remind our listeners that you can get Gary's book at survivalandbeyond.net as well. You'll see it right there on the homepage. If you notice on either side of the website, every page actually, towards the bottom there's a list of what's what I call recommended reading, and his book is among them. It's been there available for a while now, so you can go there and check it out as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Gary, thanks for coming back on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you.
I really enjoyed it. This was especially good just after I listened to Jim Rawls last week. His book fits hand in glove with mine. His picks up where mine leaves off. So the two books together are just perfect.
Well, thanks again, Gary, and I commend you for the work that you're doing, working tirelessly out there to try to get the truth out to the people, because there are a few outlets where we're actually getting, you know, the true news, and it's suppressed and unslanted and everything like that. So keep up the good work, Gary. We all need it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. As long as we're still here, I'll be writing and I'll be talking.
Right on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, and that'll about do it for this installment of Survival and Beyond here on Natural News Radio and the Prepper Podcast Radio Network. And I want to give a special thanks to my guest, Gary Yantis, this week. And a special thanks go out to you guys, too, my listeners. You know, it's like there's no show without you guys. So thanks for listening. And don't forget to check us out at survivalandbeyond.net, where you can download absolutely free of charge, free survival guides. You can watch our survival videos, read the news, and the events that are happening that affect our liberty, our freedom, our way of life. And don't forget, keep your head up, keep on living free. You have the power. Don't take any crap from anybody. We'll catch you next week. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.